From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, November 2nd, 2017. And on this day, Governor Paula Page testifies in Washington against a bill that's intended to support working waterfronts and tribal opposition to the ballot question that would allow a York County casino. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light. Tickets available at mainegardens.org. And by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Governor Paula Page was on Capitol Hill today to testify against a House bill designed to support working waterfronts. H.R. 1176 is sponsored by Maine Democrat Shelley Pingree, but LePage takes issue with the role of federal government would play. Jennifer Mitchell has more.
Pingree's bill, co-sponsored by Republican Rob Whitman of Virginia, offers two basic amendments to the 1972 Coastal Zone Management Act. First, it authorizes the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to establish a federal grant program that would provide matching funds to states to support waterfront enterprises such as fishing, aquaculture, boat building, and other water-dependent businesses. The other part of the bill creates a working waterfront task force under the Department of the Interior to work on an array of issues facing waterfront communities, from cultural and economic challenges to climate change and environmental issues.
There's no reason why the Secretary of the Interior should have a role in this program.
Rather, LePage says if the bill is approved, it should put the Commerce Department in charge of any task force that could affect industry, and not the Interior Department, which he says has competing interests. It's a sentiment shared by subcommittee member Republican Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona, who took the opportunity to commiserate with Governor LePage over the establishment of Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument, while praising the Trump administration's efforts to streamline itself and reassess its role.
Do you think this bill supports the administration's policies, or does this bill take us backwards?
I believe it takes us backwards from the standpoint of too many federal agencies involved and the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing.
But Rob Snyder, president of the Island Institute in Rockland, supports the federal grant support in the bill as well as its collaborative approach.
This program provides an incredibly important catalyst that will take place everywhere where those grants are made. People will have new kinds of discussions about how the waterfront is evolving and what their future is going to look like and how they want to invest in it from across the public and private sector. And that is, I think, an incredible opportunity for all of us.
But LePage is worried that even here, effort is being duplicated. He told the subcommittee that he has a list of 80 funding sources that already do what Pingree's bill purports to do. Pingree says she hasn't seen that list, but noted the governor's input.
Frankly, I think Maine is a real testimony to how much has been done, the funding that has been available, the working waterfront money that's been there. But I think anybody who works on the waterfront would say, we'd like to have more resources, because as land gets more valuable and more gets taken off the tax rolls, this is increasingly important.
The subcommittee members have 3 business days to continue to pose questions to LePage or anyone else providing testimony, with a 10-day window allowed for responses. If the subcommittee accepts the bill, it will be sent back to the Natural Resources Committee for further action. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
The state's 2 largest Indian tribes released a statement today saying they oppose question 1 on next Tuesday's ballot. It would authorize a 3rd casino in York County. Among other things, chiefs from the 2 Passamaquoddy reservations and the Penobscot Nation take issue with proponents' campaign literature, which says passage of the measure would, quote, support our Native American tribes. Molly and Dana is a tribal ambassador for the Penobscot Nation.
It made it look to be like it might benefit us in some way. It definitely wouldn't. And we just want to make it clear that we're not supporting this measure.
In fact, the only Maine tribe supporting question 1 is the Aroostook Band of Mi'kmaqs, which reached an agreement in principle with casino backers to create new non-gaming economic development opportunities for the tribe. Right now, only the Passamaquoddy tribe and Penobscot Nation receive financial support from a voter-approved revenue-sharing agreement with the Oxford Casino. But Molly and Dana says the money that the 2 tribes receive from Oxford will be undermined if the York County Casino is approved. Neither the Mi'kmaq nor the Houlton Band of Maliseets were included in that part of the agreement. A coalition of environmentalists and power generators is calling for the creation of a regional cap-and-trade market for carbon emissions from the transportation sector. As Fred Bever reports, their model is a successful effort to reduce CO2 emissions from electricity generation.
Since 2009, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, or REGGI, has helped the New England states reduce power plant carbon dioxide emissions by more than a third. Last year, transportation-related emissions outpaced electricity sector emissions for the first time this century. With many states enacting laws requiring broad overall greenhouse gas reductions over time, more than REGGI alone is likely to achieve, the new coalition says coordinated action is needed.
Not a single major policy, particularly on a regional basis, has been applied to transportation.
Dan Dolan is executive director of the New England Power Generators Association. He joined leaders of four environmental groups, including the Natural Resources Defense Council and the Acadia Center, in a call for action letter to New England governors. The coalition says a regional market-based incentive system could accelerate the adoption of electric vehicles and public transit options. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And finally tonight, from public radio shows like The Moth to local storytelling groups, there are more chances than ever to tell a personal story in front of an audience. This weekend, an event called This Is My Brave comes to Lewiston. As Patty White reports, it'll invite people who have experienced mental illness to take center stage at the local Franco Center and share their story.
39-year-old Corinne Pratt has struggled with mental illness for most of her life. For a long time, she didn't think she could open up about it.
For me, it's really been the biggest barrier in my mental health. I felt like I was bothering people by telling them when I was having a hard time or struggling, and then it would really just be better if I disappeared and faded into the background.
But recently, she decided to step into the spotlight.
There isn't a day that passes where I do not make the conscious decision to live.
That's Pratt at a recent rehearsal for a show called This Is My Brave.
I shouldn't be here today, but I've been given a second chance. My suicide attempt was significant. I was legally dead the four times in the mile it took the rescue to get me to the emergency room.
This Is My Brave is a national organization that helps put on storytelling events across the U.S. featuring people who've experienced mental illness. Pratt is one of 10 Mainers who will share their stories at the Franco Center Sunday through essays, poetry, and music.
I don't make it public when something is bugging.
Zach Hurd of Auburn will perform a song about his PTSD.
Running, I'm running, I'm running, I swear that I'll jump. I can't take none of the blame, this isn't my fault.
Hurd is originally from Haiti. He remembers a tough childhood, going days without eating before he was adopted and brought to the U.S. with his two younger siblings. His mother and four older siblings stayed in Haiti, which he says is part of the reason that he struggles with PTSD.
Having to basically go from one country to another and not being able to understand why my mom couldn't keep me and my younger siblings and why she gave us up.
Hurd says he's sharing his experience so that others will understand that mental illness isn't a choice. And in some ways, he says, the stage offers an opportunity.
It's hard to be transparent because of the fact that, like, you can have a group of people, even the closest people that you trust, like, you're afraid that they're going to look at you differently because it's maybe hard for them to relate. And if you don't understand it, oftentimes you're afraid of it.
The goal of This Is My Brave, says local show organizer Tracy Griffin, is to spread awareness about mental illness and make it easier for people to talk about it.
For anyone that is willing to get up and tell their story, it makes someone else feel less ashamed.
Griffin says she's lost family members and friends to suicide over the years and hopes that these kinds of personal stories will help reduce stigma and make it easier for those struggling with mental illness to get help. That's what Hallie Toomey hopes her story will do. She lost her son CJ to suicide 7 years ago.
One gun, one horrible argument, one eye roll to beat all eye rolls. His question, "You think I'm a failure, don't you?" My response, silence. Not a word, not a peep, nothing. Well, nothing other than that effing eye roll. Failure, I'll show you failure. And he did.
The pain of Toomey's last interaction with her son and his subsequent suicide, she says, is just as raw today as it was 7 years ago. But hearing her fellow storytellers' experiences have helped her not feel so alone. And she hopes that's what others in the audience will feel as well.
Every day is a gift. And, you know, even 7 years later, I forget that sometimes. And I think we need to be reminded that life can be ugly and messy, and we don't all get the happy ending. So I just keep going every day, and some days are good, some days are bad, but sitting on this stage with this group of people, you know, gives me hope that somebody will hear us, somebody will hear something amongst this cast and relate, and then, you know, maybe we'll change somebody's outcome.
This Is My Brave begins at 3 o'clock this Sunday at the Franco Center in Lewiston. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Thursday, November 2nd, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.